I'm so excited for the show. We are doing...
I've been waiting for this moment.
A Dune Part 2 review.
The cinematography, the scenes, the shots.
Mine, everything.
It's beautiful.
Everything. The costume design. The sets. Oh, my living soul. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It is long. So if you don't like long films, do yourself a favor and break it. Even though you'll binge watch a series for 7 hours and then you say you don't like long films. Ha! Austin Butler, did you recognize him?
No clue.
So many people did not. Yeah. Which is crazy because, like, he's still got his Elvis voice, sort of.
You're humiliating me.
When they called cuts, it was like he was still maybe 25 to 30% fired. Just enough to still be present and focused, but removed enough that he didn't kill anyone on set. If you want to enjoy it, that's what you need to do. If you don't want to enjoy it, stuff you. No, I'm joking.
Go and watch The Bold and the Beautiful.
Wow, okay. They didn't ruin the song, but they really took, they took ownership of that song.
Did they ever
song.
Use that in Sing or Sing 2? Because, I mean, there was
no, it was just that Cadbury ad with that brilliant gorilla that played the drums.
Yeah.
What is up?
How are you doing?
This is The Movie Show.
With me, Ryan.
And I'm Sesh. And I'm so excited. For the show. We are doing a Dune Part 2 review.
Ha. Yes, finally. Sesh has been waiting for this moment.
I've been waiting for this moment.
And then there's a...
Yes.
By the way, Phil Collins is a real drummer, by the way.
I know, but you know what immediately came into my head?
The gorilla.
The gorilla, the Cadbury ad. Wow, okay. They didn't ruin the song, but they really took, they took ownership of that song.
Did they ever
song.
Use that in Sing or Sing 2? Because, I mean, there was
no, it was just that Cadbury ad with that brilliant gorilla that played the drums.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, anyway, back to Dune. So, yes, Dune Part 2 came out and...
We watched it.
Yes, and now we are
enjoyed
doing...
We enjoyed it. Ah! We loved it.
It was... There's so much...
Can I just say... The cinematography, the scenes, the shots.
Everything.
It's beautiful.
Everything.
So lovely, well shot.
This is a movie.
Mm.
This is the standard, people.
Absolutely.
Like, anything that doesn't meet this standard... Yeah.
I think this might just be like a very modern Star Wars kind of...
Well, do you know that the Dune books were the first like sci-fi books to be written because Frank Herbert wrote them and he wrote it before like any like sci-fi anything came out. And so Dune was actually the inspiration for things like Star Wars and Star Trek. The problem with Dune was they didn't have the technology to make Dune.
They did make Dune.
So we have two failed versions. Sting was still the character that Austin Butler plays. He acted in it, and I even saw an interview with the director Denny.
Is the writer still alive?
No, Frank Herbert.
Because I was gonna say, I mean,
the books came out like in the early.
How do you get into someone's head, like someone back in the day who had never seen Star Wars, and then on top of that, you've seen Star Wars. So when you try and think, okay, think strange creature in the desert.
No,
think
you know what I think happened.
And then you're like, Star Wars. And you're like, no, don't think Star Wars. Okay.
So what happened was the director, Denny, right? He read the books when he was a kid. So when he was a kid, it would have been before like all of the Star Wars and that. And he loved the book so much that this has been like a lifelong dream for him. Like what he's done here is his passion project. So I think that's why he's done such a good job, because it's not a, well, let's just take inspiration from all of these other things. It's a passion project, and he really understood what the author was going for, and he was able to... To then portray, but you in one of the original Dunes, you know Orson Welles, who was in that black and white movie that we did.
That one.
Do you know which one I'm talking about? The famous one.
Are you talking about an old movie?
Yes, that old. What was that movie called?
12 Angry Men or something like that.
No, not the other one. What was the other one called?
There was another black and white movie.
Yes, there was 12 Angry Men, and then there was the one about he died, and then they like went and tried to find out what he left behind. His last words were, don't you remember this?
Oh.
He was in Citizen Kane. That's the movie.
It was so Citizen Kane.
Yes. Orson Welles was supposed to be in... He was supposed to be... You know the I don't know the guy's name. The head of the Harkonnen clan. Okay. The fat dude. The extremely... Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's who Orson Welles was actually supposed to play. But anyway, that's old Dune. We're back to like proper...
New Dune.
So this isn't a sequel. This isn't Dune, the second film in the series. This is actually part two to part one. So the director said that when after part one had come out, they actually wanted to produce this film very quickly because he didn't want audiences to wait because it's not the sequel, it's part two. So the way they did it, the aim was to get it done as quickly as possible because he didn't want this huge gap between part one and part two. And honestly, I was nervous in a way because part one I enjoyed, but part one was very... the story is literally like cut in half, which means I personally, like when people ask me, what do you think of Dune? I was like...
So far, so good.
Not even that. It's like I can't comment yet because it's like... I haven't gotten to the end yet. So, like, so far, I enjoyed it. Although the first time I watched Dune, I must be honest, it was a lot. It was like, you know when you get to the end of the movie and there was so much hype and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this movie.
Yeah, I felt that about this one. I was like, wait, who's that? Wait, what do they want? Wait, what? And who's the...
But then this one... So what I did was
I had to go and do research.
I watched Dune part one twice.
Oh, is it?
And because of that...
You watched it twice.
I watched it twice. And after watching it the second time, I was just like... This is one of the greatest films ever. Please do me a favor. If you haven't watched... I actually suggested this to someone who hadn't yet watched part one or part two. I said, watch Dune 1, then watch it again, and then watch part two. Just... I know it's long. I know. But if you want to experience this film the way it's supposed to be experienced, if you want to get like the... Because this is... It is like art. It is like... If you want to enjoy the film, you have to watch part one twice. After watching the first part a second time, I had so much understanding. It like everything made sense. Like part one, I was like... No, part one was super good. That's why I was so excited for part two. Part two, also very good. It is long. It is long. So I watched part two. And then in preparation for the show, I watched about half of it. But I was like... I was doing other stuff while watching it. I was watching it with my parents. I was showing it to my parents. So I was like busy with other stuff. But after doing research, I want to go watch part two, but like properly watch part two. Like, you know, when you're sitting down and you're like, in fact, I want to do part one and part two.
Now,
again,
if you watched part two, you can go back and watch part one. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I had exactly what you just explained. I had that experience with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I watched Star Wars. But as a kid, you just...
Yeah, you're just like, wow.
Visually, you're just looking at, oh, okay, he's going to fight. But then I wanted to understand the story. So then I went.
And you did like...
And of course, the Phantom Menace was made by then. So it was beautiful. And I watched them and I understood each character. But as you're going through it, even from the first one, because you've watched the last one, it's kind of like, oh.
You're like, oh.
Wow. And you enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's Baron, the Baron. That's who Orson Welles was.
Sasha, you have to watch Star Wars.
I do have to watch Star Wars.
You got it. Because if you enjoyed this...
Yeah, no, I do have to watch Star Wars. Maybe we should do a Star Wars marathon after this. Because otherwise I feel like I'm not going to... Yeah.
Let's go.
But Dune, oh my goodness. I actually think it's so good. It is everything. Like the cinematography, it's one of the most beautiful films to look at. Like Denny does such a good job. But it's also his cinematographer who's really, really, really incredible. The music. Oh my goodness. The music. Hans Zimmer has outdone himself. Like the music is so good. Like the feeling that the music evokes. And it just, like, it's incredible. The sound design. one thing you've got to realize about a film is when you watch a film, nothing is real. Nothing is real. Everything is created by the director ultimately, and then under him you've got your cinematographer, you've got your production designer, you've got every, like, the composer. So even the sound effects that you are hearing, they're not natural sound effects. It's not like that's what was happening while they were shooting the film. And what I mean by that is I was watching a breakdown on the worm riding scene. And Denny explains that before the worm comes, Timothy's character, Paul Atreides, is walking. And he said that he was so happy with the sound design of the sand, because he wanted, you know, when sand like hisses as you like walking, he wanted that effect to come across. And he said that his sound designer went to the desert post filming. So this was after they'd filmed the shots. And he was so happy with the sound that he got. And you've got to realize, like, everything, even the sound that you are hearing, someone has worked meticulously to get that sound to so, like, when you're watching a film, just know that this is, like, everything you're watching has specifically been, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not normal. It's not like someone worked on the sound. Someone worked on the sand parting. Like, that scene is incredible. That worm riding scene is absolutely incredible. And Denny wanted to do most of it like practically, didn't he? Obviously the worm itself was CG, because there's no giant worm anywhere that you're going to be able to cast into your film. But otherwise, like, everything else, they shot it in the desert. He also said with this one, with the first one, they used a lot of, like, artificial light. With this one, he wanted sunlight. So even that scene, it was shot with natural light. The dune, the actual sand, like dunes, they found dunes, but the one, you know, the shot where he's running and the worm causes the dune to collapse?
Oh, yeah.
That shot, they had to obviously create. So what they did was they built this dune, and then they had trucks, like three trucks on either side that were under the dune. And then while the stuntsmen did this, and they would film it early in the morning because of the sunlight.
I was going to say.
Yeah. The trucks would, they were timed, so they wouldn't all do it simultaneously, because obviously the dune, as the worm comes, it's not just going to collapse at one time. Like, it will, yeah. So what they did was they got the trucks to drive, and then they actually caused the dune to collapse, so that, like, the stunts person would, like, fall. It was insane. Like, even, oh my goodness, this movie is so good. I'm just like, I'm done. You know, when you're doing research, and, like, I enjoyed the movie. I went to watch it in cinemas. I enjoyed it. It is long. So if you don't like long films, like, break it up. Just do yourself a favor and break it up, even though you'll binge watch a series for 7 hours and then you say you don't like long films. Ha! That's true, though. That
got you there.
Yeah. But, like, it's this film is so good. Like, it's the costume design. The costume design. The sets. Oh, my living. So this movie's amazing.
And this is very fantasy, am I right? So
sci-fi.
It's like a sign.
Oh, my goodness. It's beautiful.
It's very
so beautiful.
Like, stuff that could possibly be, but,
and then the cast.
Oh yeah.
Oh my, it's like this
nice cast.
The cast is, yeah. So Rebecca Ferguson, really love good. Her. I love her as an actress, but funny enough, I don't like her in Dune, because her character is just like. But that's good when you have an actor that you love, yeah, and yet you don't like their character. Timothy does such a good job. I'm a huge Timothy Chalamet fan. Mm. Austin Butler, did you recognize him?
I didn't. Eh?
My mom didn't recognize him either.
I had no clue.
So many people did not, which is crazy, because, like, he's still got his Elvis voice, sort of.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that people didn't recognize him, but his voice as well in this was he's very good with his voice acting, like the way his voice technique. But yeah, like he did a brilliant job. Then I enjoyed Florence Pugh. She came in as the princess who and then obviously you had Christopher Walken, and I think all of the actors were, like, super hyped to have him on set, because obviously he's like a legend. Then Stellan Skarsgård, he plays the Baron. He's the super super fat dude.
Yeah.
It took him 8 hours to get that fat suit done every day. 8 hours.
Wow.
It took 8 hours and then 2 hours to remove. That's 10 hours of makeup a day, people. Plus, you've got a whole day of shooting.
Tiring.
And I was watching an interview. He said because that fat suit was so big, he couldn't go to the bathroom. So he wouldn't drink. Like, that's insane.
And they're filming
in the desert. They were either in Jordan or Abu Dhabi. That's where the ooh came from. So he was either there. But then also, he didn't drink anything and took Imodium pills in order to avoid having to go to the bathroom during shoots. How crazy is that? But also his voice.
Wait, what? He took what?
Imodium pills.
What is that supposed to do?
I think it's supposed to stop you from going
close
to the bathroom.
Close your bladder.
I have no idea. I wouldn't. I don't know. Don't try it, people.
Wait, so let's work this out. How long would they have been for? So you said to put
so
the suit
10 hours,
on.
10 hours in total makeup. That's putting on 10 and hours. Removing. Yeah, because it was 8 hours to put on and 2 hours to remove. So that's 10 hours. So now you only have 14 more hours left in the day. And you sleep for like what? Maybe like, okay, maybe they were like living on little sleep. So maybe like 5 hours. So that's like 15 hours. So then like your shooting day would be like 9 hours, 8 hours. That's crazy. You're literally sleeping, putting on makeup or getting makeup removed and shooting and not eating or drinking while happened. I don't know how he did it. That's pretty
that
intense.
That guy deserves a...
No, he does. I think he was done. By the end of filming, he was so happy that it was like... It was over.
What do they call a character that really...
Method actors.
Most enduring method acting.
I also heard though that because he had a fat suit on, obviously, but it weighs the same as actual fat. So like on his body.
Because that helps with the
So
the weight.
It's not just like makeup, like put some base on your face, you know, it's not like that. It's like you actually have the same weight, the fat, it's on you. It's like it's physically... Yeah, no, it's very... Yeah.
And no water.
No, and the actors were incredible. So that was him. Then Austin Butler underwent vocal training to sound more like Stellan Skarsgård. And Stellan Skarsgård did such a good job with his voice as the Baron. Like, he was incredible. Also, Austin Butler gained 25 pounds of muscle to play Fade Rotha. Yes, that's how you pronounce him. And he also said, though, that... So Austin Butler is known for method acting, which is exactly what he did with Elvis, which is why he still has his Elvis voice. In fact, he's had to go to a vocal trainer to get rid of his Elvis voice.
Smoothing it out.
But he said in the past, he's obviously done like method acting. And then what he would do is he'd explore living within that world for 3 years. This was with Elvis. And that being the only thing that he would think about day and night. But he says with Fide, he knew that it would be unhealthy for his family and friends if he decided to be Fide. Because that dude's psychotic. That his character was legit psychotic. So he said, I made a conscious decision to have a boundary. It allowed me more freedom between action and cut because I knew I was going to protect everybody else outside of the context of what we were doing. That's not to say that it doesn't bleed into your life, but I knew that I was going to do, I knew I wasn't going to do anything dangerous outside that boundary. And so even the director said of him, when the camera was on, it was like, he literally said it was like he was possessed. And then when the camera, when they called cuts, it was like he was still maybe 25 to 30% fired, but just enough to still be present and focused, but removed enough that he didn't kill anyone on set. But he did that character very well. Yeah. He did it very, very well.
No one know why we didn't recognize him.
No, he did a very good job. And then, yeah, you have obviously Zendaya. She was in it. Florence Pugh we spoke about. Javier Bard, who plays Stilgar. Yeah. He was so good. And I loved how with this film, it was a very serious film. And it's got a lot of like drama vibes to it. But at the same time, I love how Denny and the actors were still able to bring in humor. So like with the whole Paul being the Messiah, and then like he would do something, and then Stilgar would be like, "Don't worry, he's just too humble
that
to admit."
Whack.
Like that was funny, yeah. And even like the sand riding scene, he's like, "What did he say to him? Like, basically, this is the day you'll either become Fremen or you'll die." And then like Timothy's response to that, like they still were able to bring in humor, which was I thought was very very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like the cast was absolutely incredible. Like I'm super, super excited for, and what's crazy for this one is the first one, half of the cast, in fact most of the cast died. So like the fact that with this one we enjoyed it, even though like you had like new faces, like it was a completely like an entirely new cast in a way.
Yep.
Because yeah, most of the people died in the first one. So director Denny, and then the cinematographer is Greg Fraser. Do you know who that is?
No.
Other films that he's done?
Can't say that I specifically remember.
We'll find the other ones. But they often chose desert location locations based on specific sand dunes having a certain shape that Denny the director wanted, or the perfect sun orientation that Fraser the cinematographer needed. To keep the desert views as pristine as possible, they had to keep strict discipline with the crew, making them walk in tight corridors in order to not disturb the sand with footprints prior to filming. After this, they had a special sand team that would sweep the sands to erase the prints for the next morning.
That's cool.
Right? No, it's like the... Yeah, it was crazy. This film is so good. It's so good. And you know that it crashed. So AMC's website is where you buy, I think it's the American like website where you can buy film tickets. Their website crashed when Dune Part 2 went on sale. That's how many people like went on to...
There you go.
Yeah. And then, so the director, Denny, said that he would have loved to have made Dune Part 1, which came out in 2021, and Dune Part 2, which came out 2024 at the same time. Both movies, though, were long and difficult shoots, which would have been too exhausting. So he was grateful that he could learn from all of the technical parts in, all of the technical aspects in Part 1, and then recover afterwards, and then prepare himself to come back and improve for Part 2.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sandworm riding scene took 44 days to film. It took over a month to film just that one little sequence where he you know, rides a giant sandworm.
Rides the worm.
And so they were there and were shot on a set measuring 90 by 24 feet. Upon first reading it in the script, cinematographer Greg Fraser said, "How the heck are we going to do that?" Like, but they did a very good job with that they did a good job with that scene. Yeah. I think that scene would either make or break the film, and it definitely made it. This film is so... I want to go watch it again.
I'll watch it again.
This film is so good. The other thing I found quite interesting. So apparently, when the original author, Frank Herbert, wrote this movie... So Frank was actually against messianic figures. He's against it. So when he wrote Dune, he was actually writing it from the perspective of warning people against messianic figures. And so, but then what happened was when people read the first book, they saw Paul Atreides as a hero and they kind of like celebrated him. And that's not what Frank was going for. So then what he did was he brought out a smaller book called Dune Messiah, where he kind of gave background to Paul as more of like this warning. And so what Denny did is originally in the books, Chani's character, who's played by Zendaya, she was for Paul Atreides. She believed that he was coming there to help the Fremen people. Like, you know how like in the film you see she's very conflicting and conflictive when it comes to him being the person that's going to come and save them.
All right.
Apparently that wasn't in the original book. So what Denny did was he changed her character and added that in so that you would get to the end of the movie and you don't know whether Paul Atreides actually is the hero or the villain. Like, I don't know if you felt that. Like, you get to the end of the movie and you're just like, I don't know if I like this guy.
Yeah.
Which was clever because, like, he was able to bring that emotion that the original author was getting across without... by just that small but very important change. And I honestly, when I got to the end of this film, I watched it with a friend and she was just like, why did he do that? And I like, it's so good because... Like, not only is the film good, but the emotion that it invokes in you as the audience is incredible. Because, like, for me, I was like, I understand why Paul did what he did. I understand strategically the move that he's made. Like, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Like, it was so... The ending was so good. Like, the way the film ended was just like... You know when you just sit
Bam,
there?
You're just like... Yeah.
And that last shot with Zendaya and the soundtrack. No, this film. If this film doesn't win awards next year at the Oscars, is
well,
a
I was
lie.
About to say that. I know that this movie is going to attract a lot of...
No, this film, it's
a
incredible.
A lot of nominations and a lot of awards.
It's actually... This movie is actually just incredible. So anyway, back to the cinematographer, just to give you a quick who, because the honestly, this film is beautiful to look at. So cinematographer, if you don't know, Ryan, do you want to explain what a cinematographer is?
So a cinematographer is the director of
the cinema. I'm joking.
Basically, lighting, type of lenses used, basically how to achieve the look that the director wants.
Yeah.
So because you'll need specific lenses, you'll need specific lights. He's like the technical guy of getting a look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is he did such a good job. So other films that he's done is The Batman, which was also a very stylish film. That was with Robert Pattinson. He also did Dune Part 1. He worked on The Mandalorian. He did Rogue One, which is a Star Wars movie. Lion. I don't know what that is. He also did The Creator, which is a film with Denzel Washington's son. What's his name? Something Washington. David Washington.
That guy.
That movie. If you've watched The Creator, you know about it. Snow White and the Huntsman, he did. This guy is actually, he could possibly be my favorite cinematographer. Who's your favorite cinematographer? You don't have one.
I don't have a favorite cinematographer.
Okay, who's at the top of your list?
I just know that different cinematographers, they have the ability to bring across a very good picture.
Yeah, this guy's good. Yeah. This guy's very good. His name, if you missed it the first time, is Greg Fraser.
Yeah.
Greg Fraser. Is it this guy's proper?
That's the guy.
Yeah. Oh no, this movie was beautiful, man. This movie was actually just insane. If you haven't watched Dune Part 2, go watch Dune Part 1, then go watch it again, and then watch Dune Part 2. Just take my word for it. Yeah. I know it's long, but if you want to enjoy it, that's what you need to do. If you don't want to enjoy it, stuff you. No, I'm joking.
Go watch Star Wars.
That's the same thing, though. You're like basically spending the same. In fact, Star Wars has more screen time to it because Dune's like just come. Oh my goodness.
Well,
Dune's
then so go good. And watch The Bold and the Beautiful.
Do you know what? If you're not prepared to watch Dune, just don't, like, stop watching films. Just stop. Just, like, don't do it. You are not worthy. You are not worthy to watch me. I'm joking. No, but this movie was incredible. Like, this movie. The film industry has let us down recently. In recent years, the film industry has sucked. This one, I think Denny could be one of good my stuff. Favorite directors, actually. Like, he's just so... It makes me want to go watch Arrival again. Remember Arrival?
Yeah. I think
we need to do a proper Denny marathon. We've obviously done Dune.
Coming probably. Up on Active.
We have so many marathons coming at Star Wars. Yeah, but anyway, very, very, very good film. Looking forward to the... Well, actually, what's the next one? Dune Messiah. I think the next one is Dune Messiah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Funny story. So most of the cast have read the books, obviously. But Rebecca Ferguson, she apparently hasn't finished. She hasn't read. She hasn't gotten through the books. And she apparently went on a late night show and the interviewer was asking her. And she was like, I've literally been lying on all my interviews saying that I've read the book, but I really haven't. Like, she just hasn't gotten to the books. She did a good job, though, with Lady Jessica. That boom. Yeah. But very good film. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
Did you find it long? Did you watch it in one go?
Just a little. No. I had to watch it in two.
See, I watched it in one go. I think in one go it is a bit long. But I think if you're able, obviously in cinema, they're not going to stop it. So you watch it in one go.
You go in the day, you come out at night.
Because it's almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's very beautiful. It's very, very good. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So this has been The Movie Show.
With myself, Ryan.
And Misesh. Until next time.
Cheerio.
Peace.
The end.